720 WGN live here in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue on a cold and unseasonably not pleasant Michigan Avenue. Man, it was so nice a couple days ago. This is On the Road with Dane. We are here until 4 p.m. in sort of an impromptu role kind of coming in because, you know what, we all plan on listening to what would be undoubtedly a victory for the Chicago White Sox. It is not to be, and I think the people breathing the biggest sigh of relief for the Minnesota Twins, knowing that they wouldn't lose today, right? It's another opportunity to go ahead and get some victory. We've got an eclectic, blended show for you today that's going to be less food, maybe, than we've done in the past, but there certainly is going to be some travel. We're going to talk with Eileen Ogan. She is going to be talking about heading to London, getting over. This is the kind of weather you'd expect in London, except maybe 20 degrees warmer. So she'll be joining us a little bit later on in the program. Leah Pritchett, you know her as the driver for Don Schumacher's Top Fuel Papa John's and also the Mopar dragster for NHRA. She is going to be joining us from California. She previews Texas coming up and of course, the 20th anniversary for Route 66 coming up as well. And also on the car side, we are going to have Larry McIntyre and the guys and girls from Westmont Cruise Nights. We're going to have them on the line with us as well. We'll preview it a little bit more as we get later in the program. I think about 3:30 or so, we'll talk about them as they get ready to kick off their season. It is one of the very, very top cruise nights that they have. You know, the entire community gets involved, the businesses, the restaurants, the people, and certainly lots and lots of car enthusiasts over there in Westmont. We'll hear about some of the great dates that they've got planned coming up. And then, let's see, what else do we have here? I'm trying to think of what. Oh, Blockbuster Blake Stubbs is in studio. Oftentimes we'll hear whether he's calling in from Hollywood, you know, the site of many big events and premieres, or Peoria, the site of Big Al's, right, and also other things, or Springfield or whatever other places he's on location. His location today for the set of Blockbuster Blake is right here in our WGN studios. Blake, welcome to WGN.
Well, thank you, as always. I was just on the phone with you the other night, and now suddenly I'm in the studio.
That's just pillow talk, baby.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's just really weird because most people who have heard me with you, yes, or with maybe John Hansen.
He was just in, and
he's a good friend of mine. We go way back. But anybody else who's heard me, like, wait, isn't that the guy that's usually on the phone? And I love this today. We get to hash it out over the air right here.
No stranger to, you know, Alexander Graham Bell and, you know, all that great phone stuff. And you've been a proponent, I think, and a participant over the years many times of phone activity. But here, live and in person, it is going to be great. And it's going to be a great opportunity to talk. This is movie watching weather. Right. You look outside.
Absolutely.
In fact, I was thinking to myself, if we weren't in here doing this show, I was like, oh, maybe we'll take the kids to a movie. Not even for a specific movie. It's just the kind of weather that makes you want to sit down, have some popcorn and get entertained because outside, well, it sucks.
I was going to say, and you know, we don't know if there's going to be maybe rain delays with the Cubs today because this is just, it's over us all day long today. So
yeah,
there could be issues there. But at the same time, I'm thinking, you know, I'm up in the city today. I'm probably going to go see a movie I can't see elsewhere. So as soon as I get out of here, I'm probably heading to the movies to check something out.
I'm a big, you know, proponent in trying to appreciate what it is that you have instead of that whole grass is always greener thing. So you're coming here and there may be movies, you said, that they'll be available here that might not be available in other places. What would that be?
Because
you're,
well, yeah, I
Champagne is
that.
Where you're, they have,
yeah,
theaters.
I'm based out of Champaign. We have really good movie theaters down there. In fact, you know, Champaign-Urbana is the home of Roger Ebert. So, I mean, we have a really tight-knit, you know, festival. There's actually going to be Ebert Fest opens this coming Wednesday, and that's his annual film festival that used to be Overlooked Films that he loved. And because of his connection to the town, I think we do always sort of have this. Well, they're a smaller town. They don't get good. We do. In fact, right now, Isle of Dogs, which is Wes Anderson's latest film, just opened. It's been playing here a little longer. And I know that the movie I'm going to rush out to see right after I'm off the air today is Lynn Ramsey's You Were Never Really Here, starring Joaquin Phoenix.
Oh.
I may have to wait 2 months to see that otherwise. So because I'm here, I figured, you know what? I'll stick around a little longer and go enjoy not being in this weather and check out a movie.
Here on the road, we preview and suggest different kind of road trips that are you know, within kind of the scope of getting out, getting on the road, getting out and enjoying some different place, whether it's Wisconsin or whether it's all around Illinois or Indiana. We're going to have a big road trip show special coming up, I think, next week for Indianapolis. You spent some time in Indianapolis.
Absolutely.
Of course. Who wouldn't? But yeah, so we'll preview that a little bit later on in this program, too. We'll talk about Ebert Fest and we'll suggest it as one of those great road trip destinations, especially if you're not only want to get out, have some fun, but see some great movies, a little bit of history and embrace your inner Ebert. this would be the time to do it.
Absolutely. And it, I want to talk maybe a little bit about how there's a unique experience of seeing a film at Ebertfest as opposed to some other film festivals. I think there's a very unique...
As opposed to Siskel Fest.
Siskel, yeah, well, Ebert and Siskel, they definitely had...
No fest, he was less festive.
Well, actually, he was a pretty fun guy, if the more you learn about him.
Okay.
But I would say that there's the small town atmosphere in a movie palace lends itself to a much more unique movie-going experience, and especially when it's a packed house and there's going to be a special guest who was involved in the production of the film with the Q&A. There's a lot to be said about what that is. It's a much more intimate style of seeing a film than, say, just going to your multiplex, paying your money, grabbing your popcorn, going and sitting down, having
watching the latest Madea creation.
The experiences that I've had there, and I've probably
Camille's
seen...
Camille's nodding. She's a big Madea fan. So.
Oh, huge. Butu.
Mm. Butu. All day,
quality
every day.
Cinema.
There was okay. This is one of the, before we go to break, and so we're going to do that. Yeah, we're going to talk about the difference, that unique movie going experience mm-hmm. that you can get at an Ebert Fest, and even like on the rural side, as we promote it as one of the road trips. This is one time. Do you ever have where you're kind of not all the way asleep and not all the way awake, and you're mm-hmm. kind of stuck on the couch, and everything seems so far away, and
yes.
it's hard to get it right. So the remote was gone, and somehow. Throughout the course of whatever channel is a Madea program. There's so many, right? Because it has Madea in every single situation. Madea in space, Madea
yes.
as a coal miner, Madea, you know, as a neuroscientist. You know,
correct.
She's out there doing it. In this particular installment of the Madea Chronicles, she had...
the Madea Chronicles.
No,
I love it.
It was... one of the characters in there was involved in a trial, and he had to go into the witness protection program. And so they tried to take him and put him someplace. It was Eugene Levy mm-hmm. was the person that had to go into the witness protection program. And what is the most opposite personality wise, lifestyle wise from a Eugene Levy as I think it was a high priced attorney or stockbroker or something. Right. And so he had to go into the program, be as incognito as possible. So they had him moving in with Madea. And
obviously,
yeah,
I mean,
right.
What else is there to do?
Well, like,
her name's on the marquee, so
we've talked about great movies a number of times, really a lot of times, and this movie has never come up, so I'm not sure if it's really on your top 10 list. But about 5 minutes in, it was like I was trying to like claw my way out of.
I was going to say, did it hook you?
No, I was.
Were you waiting for commercial to run and grab a drink so you could?
I was trying to struggle to find the remote to somehow change it, but I was in that sort of sleep zone where I would even sit through a Tony Little Gazelle infomercial or maybe Cindy Crawford with the Youth Melon with Dr. Shabag. You know, I mean, I could let that play, and I had to finally like get up and try to get out of it. But some comedic moments for sure.
Oh, absolutely. And here's the thing, like you said, this is the weather to kind of take a movie in, and if it's not ideal for you to get out on the road and drive around, we're probably going to talk about some movies that require you to be behind the wheel.
Oh, this is you
and
know,
enjoy it
for those on the road fans, and we're going to have the text screen up as well, 312-981-7200. Of course, the bona fide ride of the show where you can share your first car, your favorite car, or your dream car. You can still do that. You can send pictures. Camille will take the call. She'll write it down. We'll share it as well. But also, this is an extra little wrinkle, especially having the luxury of Blake in studio, is your favorite car movie of all time. Now, it can be a movie based around cars. It can be a movie where the car is the star, or it can be a movie where, let's say, the car was a prominent part of the, you know, some kind of fixture within the film where it is, you know, we have to at least kind of understand and have heard of it. And everybody who enters that, who either texts in or calls in and shares, and we'd love to hear from you, we'll put you in the hat and you'll all be in. You got to call in to win. So you can text in, and then if we mention, because it's an extra restriction, you've got to call in to win, and then we'll talk to you, and you can share your thought, and you'll be entered to win the bona fide ride of the show, a $25 gift card from Bona Beef. So that sounds exciting. So we've got a lot going on today. We're going to get to it. First, a quick break. It's staying here on the road on 720 WGN. Again, on the road, live here in the Allstate Showcase Studio, Michigan Avenue, to my right, Blockbuster Blake Stubbs, and all the movies that are coming out now. And when you think about some of the best, it was weird. The one time we did this, it might have been maybe a year ago, where we talked about some of favorite car movies of all time. And 312-981-7200, you can text in yours. We'll try to mention as many as possible. If we do choose one afterwards, we'll get you on the horn. And you'll be in to win that $25 gift card as the bona fide ride of the show from Bona Beef. And so, like, car movies are, it's the kind of thing that you don't necessarily always think of. You think of great movies, and you've got Cars as a centerpiece. But once we got into it, man, there's a lot.
And it goes all over the place. I mean, there's the whole thing of where is the car the star of the film? Is it so iconic that nobody really cares about who was in the movie or even remembers, but they definitely would recognize the car if they saw it. There's the type where it's a bunch of, you know, madcap, it's character-oriented, and the car just sort of feels like another, like a supporting character. There's also the fact that there's just a lot of cars in the movie. But people are traveling. It's high stakes. It can be race-oriented or something along those lines. I also just want to point out that, you know, a lot of the stuff that I come up with when I make a list like this, I try to go a little, you know, all over the place because I know that there's, you know, R-rated action films that kids can't see, but there's always family films, you know, they're car oriented,
like a Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, Chitty Chitty Bang or Herbie,
or a Cars, you know, something like
all
that,
cars.
Where you can sit and watch with your kids. And so I want to make sure that, you know, if I'm speaking to an audience, I can say, look, I want to leave a little something for everybody. And I know that, you know, people that are going to call and text in and send us stuff, they're going to give me stuff that maybe I might mention, but at the same time, I'm leaving out because you didn't just tell me. Find me heist movies with cars that star, you know, this type of person. Well, okay, I can give you a list of five, but at the same time, I'd rather we have a broader conversation about
this. Heist movies with cars, and you think about some of them that are like Gone in 60 Seconds.
Absolutely.
Is a movie about heists where the cars are the heist.
They're front, right? And center, yeah.
You've got that, and then you've got, you know, like Smokey and the Bandit, where there is, I don't know if there's a heist, there's certainly a crime being committed, but the car is not necessarily, it's just a really cool part of the movie. I don't know if there's a ton of conversations about the car even, right?
Not just, really. They have one conversation at the very beginning, what kind of car Bandit wants. And once he gets it, the car takes front and center, and it becomes just, to me, it's the third character in every scene between Burt Reynolds and Sally Field.
I mean, and it is. And when you talk about being able to have a car that makes, I think, the markets move, that is the kind of car.
How many Trans Ams were sold?
Even as a little kid, far away from his driver's license, it was like, I want that.
Yes.
You know, and I know I wasn't alone, and they made so many different incarnations of that that Firebird, right?
Right.
And all the way up until, wow, it was such a big deal. Let's hear really quick some of the ones coming in here. Jeez, they're coming in so fast.
Thank you. That's what we want.
Just like cars. Folks say, from the 773, built, comment, Need for Speed, Gone in 60 Seconds, Mustang's Rule, Stephen P. Smith, that's probably who sent it. 773, another 773, The Italian Job.
Yeah.
Either version. You've got
either version in that case, yeah, definitely.
You've got, from the 224, someone who loathes Tom Cruise, but you cannot deny, you know, Days of Thunder was a classic.
You know what? I remember last time I was on, and I did mention that film, and you said, you know, people in the racing community don't really shine positively on Days of Thunder, but it's one of my guilty pleasures. I love that movie.
You look at how the cars and the role that they play in the movies, and it is so totally different from even the ones we've mentioned. Here's a couple great examples from the 630. Uncle Buck's car helped made the movie.
100%.
So this is not Days of Thunder.
No.
This is not Need for Speed. And then this one, and this is one of, because, you know what, sir, you are Buick Centurion. 312, Kurt Russell, one of your favorite actors in Used Cars.
Yes.
I don't know if it's the greatest.
And Used Cars is one of the all-time, I think, you know, and we're getting to a point, and I hate to say this, because to me it's not, to my parents' generation it's not, but there are, we're getting to, you know, it's aged enough where there's a whole slew of people that haven't seen it yet. And so to say now, and maybe this is a broader conversation to have, but now that film might be considered underrated because there's a lot of people that haven't been exposed to it. And that's the only reason I say that. Not because it's not good, not because it's not great, and not because people don't love it. Or, you know, like I said, my parents and my generation, we get it. But there are a younger group of people out there that until they see it, they don't know it. And they're the ones that consume pop culture faster than anybody.
Well,
so is it underrated for that reason? Maybe a little bit.
I think it's maybe, even if it is underrated, I think that may be the appropriate rating. I mean, it's blockbuster Blake Stubbs, so you know that type of movie category. This, that, you know, Used Cars was kind of a cult classic. I think would be the highest praise I think you could put on it.
Absolutely.
Was it ever? I think it's just great because it's absolutely hilarious, right?
100%,
and you think Kurt Russell, it shows his range, you know, and then it also, I don't want to say exposes, because I think we all kind of know what goes on, but it certainly highlights just a lot of the chicanery that happens in the used car world, you know, where you're saying, like, this car needs nothing except you in the driver's seat.
Right. And all of this is much to our comedic delight. I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, to call that film underrated, I would say it's interesting to name a classic, a cult classic especially, as an underrated film. But I'm only considering it from the scope of audience that it's reaching now, as opposed to what it has reached over the last 30, 40 years. You know, like, and there's other films like this. People can probably name two or three. They're like, I grew up, I was shown that movie by my dad or my mom. I loved it. And now, you know, like, I have kids and I can't show it to them yet because they're not old enough. So as these films age, do they finally hit a point where they're a little bit underrated? Maybe. Yeah. I think Used Cars is always going to be one where, until you or I say it, would it be, you know, if we had a random group of people that were younger talking about this?
I was surprised it got mentioned. Yeah. I might not even have thought to mention it, but I absolutely loved it. Yeah. So thanks to the listener for that one. So Blockbuster Blake Stubbs in studio with us. We are talking your favorite car movies, or movies with car, or a car in movie of all time, at least your own of all time. And so, Blake, do you have them kind of categorized? Did you have them where they are, you know, where these are like suspenseful thrillers or comedies or, you know, for kids? Do you have categories like that?
I was going to say, you know, a movie like Cars is the number one. I already kind of mentioned it before in passing, but I think Cars is one of the top movies. If you know you have a kid that's going to love automobiles, and be it because they just love how they work or they love how fast they are or whatever, Cars, just, it's the gateway movie to opening things up. Another one that I think could be watched amongst family would be something like A Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. And the one that I was going to mention that I think doesn't get mentioned enough is The Great Race, starring Tony Curtis and Jack Lemmon. And by the way, Jack Lemmon in that movie is one of my all-time favorite villainous performances, period. In fact, I think it's a textbook on how to be a comedic villain. But, and Peter Falk, you know, as his foil. They're just fantastic. But the two cars in that movie, the Leslie Special and the Hannibal Twin 8, are iconic once you see the movie. And I remember seeing it on, like, cable many years ago. And my dad saw me watching it, and he was like, what are you watching? And I said, it's this movie called The Great Race. He said, I love that movie. So that became sort of a family-oriented activity. And then when you see that, you know, they built these special cars for the film, it falls into that category. Now we're venturing out of sort of the family-oriented stuff, but something like a Death Race 2000, where the only thing that really made the movie, you know, great was the cars. They were all custom-built, all stylized to be unique personalities or unique archetype, you know, type warrior cars, right, so to speak. And so I think it's interesting because now we're venturing into that territory as you go on and further into the movie rabbit hole, so to speak, where the cars become more important than the actors on screen in certain scenes.
It's weird when you think about it, because it is something that many, you know, sometimes it's front and center, sometimes mm-hmm. it's in the backdrop, but there are some things, and you kind of hit on it, where it's such an essential ingredient. It isn't one of the actors, it isn't saying lines, but without the whole car phenomenon built into it, you just wouldn't have the movie, you know, a movie like Road Warrior.
Right.
You know, or Mad Max.
Or Fury Road is another one. I mean, Fury Road is probably the most recent, and I would have put that on any list if you said, what are the best car movies made in the last 10 years? Fury Road's top of the list. For me, at least. I think what they were able to build, the world building, the action, the way that they executed it, and a lot of it was not done with CGI. It would surprise a lot of people to know that that was actual stunt driving. And, I mean, if you're a Mad Max aficionado, you know that the Interceptor, the car that Max has had since the beginning, has a part to play in the film. No. And so, I mean, those cars become much like, if you said right now, what's the one thing that you love the most about Star Wars, universally amongst fans, they might point to something like the Millennium Falcon, the vehicle that carries all these characters through
Luke's,
all these
Luke's Landspeeder was Luke's one of those very cool things.
Luke's X-Wing. You know, we see that one more time again in The Last Jedi. Something like that, where it's not something that's saying lines. It's not giving us inflection. It's a set piece, and yet it's so much more.
We've got enough where we don't even have to stretch it into the intergalactic realm of cinematic situations. But I want to make sure to mention, so people, you can send them in, 312-981-7200. Your favorite car movie, your favorite car within a movie, your favorite, you know, part of a, you know, chase scene, even something like that. From the 815 Vanishing Point, Randy Harrison down there in Dixon, Illinois, thanks for adding yours. 773 Gran Torino is the ultimate guy car. Aaron Spelling had the pulse of the world on Starsky and Hutch. Now, this was a TV show, unless you consider the later version, you know, where we had a Vince Vaughn as the villain.
Yes. Yeah. And I look, you know, I remember seeing that
Snoop
in
is Huggy Bear,
laughing just a little bit. But at the same time, the cars were always the coolest, the cool factor. You know, that was the thing. You wanted to see a killer car chase. And I mean, mentioning Vanishing Point, I would also be remiss if I didn't point out, you know, Death Proof, Quentin Tarantino's Death Proof, which had a replica of the car as the protagonist's vehicle. in the movie. And then Kurt Russell, you know, again, one of my favorites, was the villain and drove his own muscle car that led to, I think, still one of the best chase scenes I've ever seen on film. I mean, the movie goes into this whole, like, act that is a chase scene, and it's just, it's thrilling and it's intense, and man, those cars get to perform.
We knew that we would see this one as well. You mentioned the word cool and cars in the same thing, and you knew Steve McQueen was going to come out,
yes,
with Bullet from the 630. So you can go ahead and send those in. We've got a bunch of different things we're going to hit. We're going to, you can talk on the air if you want. Actually, we do have, I think, Dave on the line. Dave, if you can do it in about a minute, we can get you on the line. Dave, welcome to WGN.
Welcome. Thank you.
So, hey, Dave, this is one of those movies, and Steve McQueen, obviously one of the coolest guys out there, but you've added Bullet. Talk about it.
Well, it was just a great movie, and a lot of car action in it. And anyway, they had a Mustang that was it wasn't really specially modified, but there was a few trick things they put in it. But it was just a good all-around movie. If you enjoy racing scenes and stuff like that, that was all in there.
Yep, and it's like so many of these we're going to be highlighting today. It has stood the test of time. Dave, thanks so much for jumping on the show.
Hey, thank you much.
All right, it is 2:30 and at news time. We've got to take a quick break here, and so it is time for the news.
And you're going to drive me to drinking if you don't stop driving that hot rod Lincoln.
Hi, I'm John Force, and you're on the road with Dane, WGN. Love your show, and love Joliet.
Have you heard the story of the hot rod race?
720 WGN on the road here in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. It is Dane here with you. He just brought up Joliet. That's a Route 66 is going to have their 20th anniversary. A little later on the program, we're going to have Leah Pritchett is going to be joining us. She drives the Top Fuel dragster, the Papa John's dragster. She actually raced, you know, Papa John. When it comes to, there's another car thing. So it's a pizza place, right? You know, and Papa John does like the football commercials and all sorts of stuff, but he actually sponsors and is a big motorsports fan as well. And, you know, he had that. The story goes, I think it was like a gold, was it a old Camaro or was it like a Trans Am or a Firebird or something like that?
Might have
been a Camaro. He sold that car in order to, you know, get the funds to start Papa John's
business.
Yeah,
right.
Start his business. And then as he became fabulously wealthy, he decided to track down and find, he got his car back, his original car. And then he souped it up a little bit and actually raced. So they did some kind of races, you know, with dragster drivers.
Really?
And him. Yeah, so he takes He takes that stuff seriously. So, yeah, so cars can be anything. They can be the star of the big movie. They can be the inspiration for a pizza chain. Mm-hmm. You name it. And we've talked about the fact that they can be so many different things, whether it's kids' movies, comedies, thrillers, heist movies, or just kind of big characters or great marketing plans if you're looking at some of those things. We've got Knight Rider from the 847, Speed Racer. As a kid, that was, you know, powerful Mark V.
Absolutely. Know, the car that could do anything. Car that could do anything.
Yep. You know, and you did showcase the relationship between, you know, some kids and a monkey. Chim Chim
and I go way back.
any of the cars from the Munsters TV series, and for those people that that customize cars, some of those are legendary.
Absolutely.
As well. But you've got a couple movies that we're going to kind of go deep on that are, you know, these are movies that people have heard of, know, love, but also, you know, cars are a big part of it.
Absolutely. And I think the first one for me, easily top of the list, and it's because it's the most probably relatable film for a lot of people, if not everyone, is National Lampoon's Vacation with the Griswold family truckster. It's the family's car.
It is unfortunately relatable in a lot of different ways. We all have a cousin Eddie out there.
Mm-hmm.
We've all, you know, maybe traveled cross country at some point. Definitely. At least lots of us, right?
With the bunch.
And
if you haven't, I recommend it because it's an adventure in and of itself. And this movie, I think, chronicles lampoons to use their word, but it definitely hyperbolizes a lot of like what could go wrong on a family trip
when you tie your dog to the bumper.
Yeah, which is horrific.
Dog killer.
But at the same time, that movie, it stands the test of time as being one of the funniest. It's something anybody can relate to. And at the same time, the car is just as important as any character on the screen because of what the car goes through as well.
That, you know, it is one of those, I think, rare things where just the nickname that the car had in the movie is now something that universally people will refer to different. Oh, the family truckster.
Family truckster, absolutely.
So describe the. I mean, it's not really a car, right? It was like a tank
wagon. A massive station wagon, a very putrid green color. They doubled up on front headlights for some odd reason, and at the same time, you know, once you're in the car, and it was hyped to them as this, you know, oh, it's the ultimate vehicle, you got to have it. And then, you know, as they're riding it, you're just like, that's just a station wagon. That's what we got parked outside, you know. And that's one of those things where I think, again, it's that relatability. That's why I always draw people to it. And you would be surprised to find people that haven't seen this film. But when you do, that's a rare occurrence, and you have an opportunity to show them. And you know that they're going to have a moment where they're like, oh my God, that happened on our family tree. You know, like, and not like the dog tied to the bumper.
You mean,
but
noticing all this plight, kids? Roll them up.
Yeah, or a wreck. You know, like there was just a wreck when we're, you know, five states away from home. Oh, like, the last thing we want to do is get a car repaired and be, you know, stuck in some town for 2 or 3 days,
right,
et cetera. The whole thing of, you know, this absent-minded dad who wants to take his family on this excursion that, you know, is something they've all been waiting for. And
it's
then,
a
of
pilgrimage
course, the,
to, yeah, it's, was it Wally World?
Wally World, okay, yeah. That's right. America's favorite family fun park. And I think it's just one of those movies that, if you're talking car films, you can't leave out the Griswolds and their car. Now, granted, this spawned multiple sequels, and everybody has emotional attachments to Christmas Vacation.
A lot of people like the Christmas one.
And the cars weren't nearly as important in that one, other than maybe the opening scene. But at the same time, the truckster, that's just, it made a statement. And the funny thing is, if you type in National Lampoon's Vacation, I think you'd be hard-pressed to get a poster of the film first. I think you would probably get a photo of Clark looking at the truckster for the first time. So that alone, you know, and people have tried to, like, replicate this car just for, you know, something fun to do, I guess. I don't know why anybody would want to drive
so one. So many great cameos in it. It is definitely one that people should check out. A lot of laughs, like you said, a million different, unfortunately, relatable moments in there. And it was really kind of, you know, John Candy as the guy you know, saying that, you know, the park was closed. Obviously, that was a problem. And then what really was, I think, was it kind of the coming out party, at least for, you know, for Christy Brinkley from, I mean, it made her, she was a, you know, a model, and you saw her in Sports Illustrated and things like that. But this was like when she was in that scene in a car.
Absolutely. In an 83 Ferrari.
Right. Which is kind of like, if, for those people out there, it's kind of the Magnum PI style Ferrari. And there was another big car moment there.
Absolutely. And the thing is, too, they actually, I believe, parodied that at another point in time. And it might have been Vegas Vacation, which, you know, was many years later. Brinkley is driving.
And still holding up.
And still and she is a beautiful woman and looks almost exactly in that film the way she did 20 years earlier, which is crazy.
Well, Blake, I mentioned Tony Little in the Gazelle and the infomercials. Mm-hmm. Chuck Norris, right, who's unstoppable and could beat up everyone. She does an infomercial on some exercise equipment with Chuck Norris. And so I think that's the secret to her.
That's it. That's the secret to the success.
Preservative success.
Longevity, yes. Right. That's a special kind of longevity. But no, that film, it's so weird because you have the dad who, you know, he's trying to act all cool, you know, in front of her, and she's driving this. You're kind of wondering, like, what does she do for a living? I mean, she's driving and again, the character she's playing. Is she a model? Is that what she does? Like, we don't really ever know much other than she drives this killer car. She's got the ultimate confidence. And it's like that contrast from the family man who's like, you know, trying to enjoy an adventure with his family. And then the comedy that ensues from him trying to woo her from behind the wheel. Like, this is all stuff we tell people not to do behind the wheel of a car today.
Yeah, she seems oddly tolerant of him in the movie. But hey, you know what I always say when people ask me, you know, my family, the kids or whatever, Esther asked me, like, well, why is that happening in the movie? I just say it's in the script.
It's in the script.
That's what they have to show here. Before we get into the next movie from the 847, Scooby-Doo Van ? Can't think of its name. It's The Mystery Machine.
The Mystery Machine, yes.
Right? You know, because they were solving mysteries on a regular basis.
Something I'd like to point out, recently I reviewed Ready Player One with you. We talked about it just the other night. Yeah. Most of the vehicles that we've mentioned in this segment appear in that film. Some in Blink and Miss It cameos, some it's front and center. Specifically, one movie we haven't mentioned yet, Back to the Future, the DeLorean.
Oh,
and that's, you know, that the car gets to shine in Ready Player One, just as it did in the films.
It is the time machine. So let's go. This is a movie. The next one we have. So this was as far as Family Vacation. It's one that you should get out there, go see it. If you miss it, if you saw it, see it again.
Yep.
Kind of get back at and enjoy it. Maybe focus on the Truckster. And the next one you're going to is a very current movie. I saw it. We watched it 3-4 times. Yep. It is every bit. I mean, it's so cool. The car is, again, like a huge focus of it. The driver, the soundtrack, all that stuff.
And Baby Driver, directed by Edgar Wright, who many will remember from Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz and The World's End. So Baby Driver follows a young man who, what he does is, and his name's Baby, he drives getaway routes for robbers. And he makes good money doing it, and he is the best at it. And so the big hook, though, for the film is the fact that, you know, Baby suffers from, I believe it's tinnitus, which is he has a hum in his ear constantly from a wreck when he was younger, much younger. And so he listens to music. Well, we, the audience, as we watch when he's driving the car and he's got his headphones in, we're hearing what he hears. And so everything in the film, in at least the opening 6 minutes, takes place timed perfectly to the John Spencer Blues Explosion's Bell Bottoms. And that song, if you haven't heard it, is awesome. And something that I wanted to point out, because I got really into the hype for this movie, and I'm a huge Edgar Wright fan. I think he's one of the most kinetic directors when it comes to like making a movie that audiences feel out of breath after certain scenes by. But he doesn't even take transitions from scene to scenes lightly. He makes sure that everything feels engrossing and gripping for the audience. So when you take a high-speed chase sequence, you time everything perfectly to music. It's almost like watching the finest Broadway musical on the planet, except it's a car chase.
It's ballet, really.
It's ballet, yeah. Or it's something like Mozart, that perfection. You know, it's that. That's what it is you want to watch. And so I recommend Baby Driver for anybody who wants to see a killer car chase, multiple car chases, actually, yep, and an awesome soundtrack. Probably one of the best I've heard in a very long time.
And a car that's kind of an untraditional, like, super sports car. I mean, yep, it wasn't anything. It was not
nothing
one of these
special
Ferraris.
It was something you could walk onto a lot right now and yep, buy, except they, of course, they souped
like
it up a
Subaru
little bit.
Or
but,
something.
Who, yeah.
I can't remember if you've got that. 312-981-7200. You can also text in and call in with your favorite car or car movie. And we've got Mike on the line. Mike, welcome to WGN.
Hi, good afternoon. Didn't get a lot of recognition, but the movie Grand Prix was great, but they never replay it. Hard to find, and I think it's in the 70s.
I was going to say Grand Prix. Yeah, I remember being
racing,
shown a lot of that when I was at in college, key action directing and how to put together a gripping scene. And again, consider the audience back then when that movie came out. The reason why it was so right, engrossing for them is because the action was so high. Nowadays, people have access right, to so much other stuff, you know, thanks to the internet. But back then, you put a crowd in a theater to watch something like that, they'd never seen anything like it, ever.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Movie. And there's some pretty big heavy hitter actors in it, too. I don't recall, but there were a few good actors in it, well-known.
We'll look it up and we'll share it with the listeners. Mike, thanks for jumping on.
Thank you.
All right, you bet. And before we go to break, we're going to mention we've got a couple here. Chris Christopherson in Convoy from the 630. Okay, and then talked about Star Wars and the Land Speeder and the yep, X-Wing, but also from the 630, we've got Corvette Summer with Mark Hamill.
Corvette Summer with Mark Hamill. Can't miss it. It's funny because when Last Jedi, you know, was coming out and everything, he was he's very popular on Twitter. He's very good at engaging with his fans. People kept sending him stuff about Corvette Summer, and he kept talking about it a little more. And I kept wondering, I was like, that's so interesting that people are, I feel like, discovering something that he did, because they're realizing that Mark Hamill's had an incredible career, but they somehow missed it. But Corvette Summer, definitely. It's one of those movies that, like, maybe you didn't ever hear about it. But now you can actually probably get a hold of it a lot easier.
You look at some of the movies that we've talked about that where the car, even if it isn't necessarily a movie about a car, is an essential ingredient. Right. And when you think of cars, the essential ingredient is gas. We brought up, mm-hmm, you know, Mad Max, Road Warrior. The whole kind of backstory is that this whole, you know, controlling the gas, you know, accessing the gas, having right, the gas is such a big thing. And from the 630, we've got it's Three Gas. Was that the name of the movie with Donald Sutherland about a town running out of gas?
I believe so. Something. Yeah, I was going to say, Donald Sutherland, I mean, that alone should be worth your money just to, you know, rent it probably for a dollar if you want to go get it at a video store, assuming those still exist in your communities.
Well, the Red Box has only got things that are new. That's another thing we got to talk about is some of these things that we suggest. That is, I think, one of the great things about the old time. Mm-hmm. And you say old time, this is not that long ago, you know, maybe 15 years ago, you know, where you had your Blockbuster, your Hollywood Videos, where they would have copies of some of those old movies. And now you are kind of like left sort of pulling up whatever quality you can get off of the internet, but you know, you just don't have that hard copy.
I was going to say, we're relying on streaming services to get some form of agreement where they can put this stuff out there. That, you know, we're already paying for the service, but we would have access to watching it at home and hopefully, you know, in the best possible quality. Some of these things, as we've come to find out, you know, many years removed from the silent era, like a lot of films weren't as well taken care of as one would think. You know, a studio produced it, they put it out there, it was consumed, and then they just threw it in a vault. Well, the vault wasn't, you know, in the best shape to take care of that stuff. It's like if you rent a storage unit and put your valuables in it, but then they're like, it's not climate controlled. And the next thing you know, your stuff's in bad shape. Certain films, and these things are treasures. I mean, we have to accept that that's what they are. They are treasures that we need to, you know, keep in good shape so that people can see them. But we're also running into certain studios not, you know, being willing to like let this property be shown on like a Netflix, a Hulu, or an Amazon.
Look at all of the interest people excited about a lot of these different movies. That is one thing to consider, is finding a way to take some of these old classics that aren't even old. Some of them are, but they're just not the latest releases for a Redbox, and make them available for people. Right now, though, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, you know, a lot of these you know, movies, we think about London, and you think about Cars, I think about the Black Taxis and all that kind of stuff. Certainly, a lot of great chase scenes as well. When we come back, we're going to have Eileen Ogan. She is our travel guru. She's going to talk about getting out there and experiencing London. So stay tuned for that. It's On the Road here on 720 WGN.
Free furnaces.
WGN and On the Road with Dane live here in the Allstate Showcase studio. And on the line with us as she travels, she is walking the walk of travel, is the one and only Eileen Ogans when it comes to vacations, when it comes to getting out, seeing the world, seeing your own backyard, and taking the kids with, from takingthekids.com. The one and only Eileen Ogans, welcome to WGN.
Hi, thanks for having me.
It's so cool that, like, you know, because you can't be just sitting down, right, just doing it from either a home or a studio or an office. You're like, wait a minute, I need to authentically be traveling at the time, and you're on a train as we speak.
True.
Well, to think about this, when you think about trains, some of the famous trains in the world, you know, the Orient Express, maybe a Japanese bullet train, or else the Tube in London, and I'm excited to talk with you. This is something that we're hoping to do probably this summer, and you say a lot of people should be hoping to do it, is finally, you know, taking that trip, going to Europe, and seeing
hopping the pond.
Yeah, and seeing London.
First of all, this is a great time because after Brexit, there have been better deals for Americans in Britain, you know, because the dollar has been stronger against the pound. And for kids, England is a really great first trip abroad because everyone speaks English. Things are different, but not too different. And most of the museums, like in Washington, D.C., are free because they're government museums. Plus, anybody who's a royal watcher, all eyes will be on Windsor when Princess Harry marries American Meghan Markle in a few weeks. So I think it could be a really good time.
You hit on it, Eileen, because this is the thing. It is travel, it is Europe, and all those kind of mysterious and sometimes frightening things that can go along with that. But it is so familiar. You said it's the same but different because, you know, just from, you know, movies and television, you know, just and through history, I guess, right, is that we have such kind of a familiarity with it. Is when I mentioned it to my kids, you know, they're thinking Harry Potter and, you know, castles and, of course, for the girls, princesses, all that stuff.
Speaking of Harry Potter, just 20 miles outside of London is the Harry Potter Studios, which are just an amazing day trip for anybody who's interested in Harry Potter, you know, with sets and costumes and videos of people who worked on the movies. So that's just a really, really good bet. And then if you want to dive deeper, there are actual Harry Potter tours, you know, in Edinburgh, for example, where you might have, where they say J.K. Rowling got a lot of her inspiration. So that's a really good bet. As far as you have your pick of castles, including right in London, where Queen Victoria was raised, to the Tower of London, which is really great. And one thing I really love about Britain is their museums and castles and palaces have terrific supporting material for kids, you know, things like scavenger hunts and kid size booklets and things like that you see in some museums in the U.S., but certainly not everywhere. But you will find them all over the place in Britain.
Well, but on the parenting side, too, which you also have, you get to see all that stuff. The kids will be glued to it. They love all of that, all that history stuff. But you also, as a parent, have that educational side. It's not like going to necessarily, you know, Disney World, which is just pure entertainment. This is a lot of history and a lot of education built right in.
True. And it's all in English. So that makes it easier on everybody, for sure. But you still have plenty of opportunity to try kind of stuff. And another thing we should mention is thatched roofs, you know, that are really almost too picturesque to be real. Or you can go to Bath or go to Oxford or Cambridge. So it's, you know, again, it's easy to let the kids help you plan the itineraries, because all of these places have great online presences, you know. And in fact, I'll say for kids, you know, and you can look up different tours and so forth.
Well, here's the other thing, too, is on the public transportation side, you know, we mentioned the train when we mentioned, you know, where you were. And but also, too, is you've got, you know, the tube there and the famous taxis. As far as like getting around London, like, what do you suggest and how does it work?
Oh, definitely public transportation, for sure. You do. First of all, you do not, if you're an American, you do not want to drive in Britain on the other side of the road. Well, we would say on the wrong side, but they would say, you know, on where the driver's side is on the other side from us. It's just too easy to get confused. And there's really no need to, because the tube is so convenient and goes everywhere. And then if you want to get out of town, you can just take a train. So that'll make it really simple. And certainly you would have your pick of hotels, but with a family, probably the easiest and the most affordable is to rent an apartment either through Airbnb or HomeAway or something like that. And that's a really good bet, too, because it gives you a home base. And with kids, no one really wants to go out to eat, right, 3 meals a day a week or 10 days straight. So this way you can get takeout. They say Indian chicken masala is sort of like our pizza, you know. Indian food is very popular. Or, you know, for kids, it's an education. It's a good lesson even to go to the supermarket and see, like, different brands of things, cookies and chips and cereal, you know, that British kids eat. And another thing is you could even take the train to go to France from here.
So you could actually take the train and go under the English Channel, I guess, right? And then
end up in Paris? Yeah, it's the Channel train. You know, it goes right from
probably London to Paris.
Yeah. And you know, a good thing about that is you're not flying, so you're, you know, taking the train right from central London right to central Paris. So you could even, like, leave your stuff if you really wanted to and just go for a day or overnight or something like that.
Here's the thing, too, and I know you mentioned Brexit and how things are changing, and with the euro, everything is what was typically, you know, more connected cost-wise, and the exchange rate for the pounds to dollars has never been one-to-one, right? Isn't it usually kind of one-and-a-half-to-one? Or what is it these days, the exchange rate?
You know, I'd have to look it up because it changes every day, but I think it's about 1.5 to 1, but it's certainly a lot better than it was for sure. So
Eileen, let us know, as far as want to go to London, to Europe, what is the what's the best way to get a hold of you and the site where people can see all the stuff
sure,
that you've
just,
done on it.
Your listeners can email me at Eileen@takingthekids.com, and if you just go to my website, takingthekids.com, and search for London or England, you can find a lot of what I've written about it recently.
Eileen Ogan, she is the guru. Thanks, Eileen, so much for being on the train with us and jumping on even in your travels. And thanks for being on the show today.
Sure. Thanks for having me, and happy travels.
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait to get 720 WGN on the road with Dane, live here in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. And honored to have on the line the driver of the Papa John's Dragster in the Mellow Yellow Top Fuel Series for NHRA, the one and only Leah Pritchett. Welcome to WGN.
Oh, hi. Yes. Thank you. Always a pleasure to be on.
Yeah. Well, it's great to have you on. And it's an exciting time of year. You're getting a little bit of a break here before you head to Texas. But you look at the standings. I think you're in seventh place at this point. But you look at, you've got teammates, Antoine Brown. You got Tony Schumacher in there as well. So it's got to be exciting. Don Schumacher Racing has it dialed in this year again.
Well, I think we definitely have. And we had a good test session earlier in the season. But what has impressed me the most is actually a test session that we had right after Vegas, which would have been just 2 days ago, where we were able to really implement a lot of things that we've been working on for the past 2 months that we haven't been able to put on the track. And the last time that I felt that amount of confidence within myself and the team and the car of really having a hot rod that is more than just a couple thousands quicker than the other ones, ones that are really going to make a difference when we get into the heat of the tracks. So that's a testament to what the teams, what the crew chiefs at Schumacher Racing do, because we're not just out there qualifying and racing. You know, at the same time that we're doing those things during races, sometimes we're testing new parts, thinking four or five races ahead. So those are exciting things that I'm thinking about. And, of course, you know, the number one goal is to keep up on the points and just keep kind of climbing. So I feel like we finally have some good momentum.
Oh, you know that you're going to be there at the finish line. You're going to get some wins this year for sure and contend for a championship. It's just the way that things are done. It was interesting to see that you had, I think it was in Auto Week or something, it said that you're going to be doing a little bit of overtime and you're going to be driving in the factory stock division as well. And I remember the last time we talked, you were racing Papa John occasionally, got his famous car that's iconic within that brand. I know that you said you like to do it in the interview. I know that you're excited to do it. Racers always love to race regardless, but of course it's a whole different beast in the factory stock.
It is a whole different animal, and I absolutely love it. And, you know, people, other racers and fans, they, you know, oh man, you must be, you know, bored going down there, because it's a, you know, it's 170 mile an hour. It, you know, we're trying to dip into 7 seconds here with that 354 Mopar, and the thing is that it's not boring at all whatsoever, because I get to have a lot more input with the car and the tune and when I'm driving it, and understand from a shocks perspective, and really focus on the materials and the parts that we develop that then go and are able to be sold through Don Schumacher Racing for the normal everyday driver that's got their SRT on the street and they want to make faster. So it is a lot of fun. It's tight racing too.
Yeah.
And of course it's a pro tree. And that means that I get to see a pro tree more than the other competition in Top Fuel. However, the reaction is different. So I leave off of the two step in the factory stock. And, you know, so that's your reaction from your left foot jumping off that brake with the two-step pedal, and of course in the Top Fuel dragster, your reaction is solely on your throttle foot on your right. So it's cool, and you don't know what's going to happen when you lift off that two-step. The wheels might carry just maybe a foot or so, or you might just be seeing stars for 300 feet, and it's just riding on the bumper. So it's a cool, it's a really cool, unique thing, and the fact is that the class is continuing to grow, and it is, and it's affordable. It's not, you know, we're pro stock. It's unfortunately turned into such a huge money machine, and so costly and expensive, more expensive than Top Fuel, where factory stock is still your everyday's guys class. So it's awesome, and of course we're going for a championship in that too.
We talk about it all the time, and listeners always ask, you know, because so much is based on the setup, whether it's Funny Car, whether it's Top Fuel, and it's just, you know, just fractions, right? In order to get things done, you've got to have that setup. But with you, and you touched on it, like as a driver, you get so much more input into the success or failure of that run because you are there. You're working it through the entire race.
It is, and even in the fuel car, there's a lot that a driver can do to mess up a run. We can't make it any better. But if you really think about it, the driver needs to be as consistent as possible from the time that they've got that clutch engaged to the exact way that they hit the throttle, whether it's a real slap or how many thousandths of a second does your hand release from the brake before your foot hits the throttle and those blades open, and simultaneously. So is there 50 pounds of brake pressure less, or is there 100, or is there zero? Are the wheels, those tires trying to drive through brake? And those are all things that are happening in a split of a second, but they need to be the same every time in order for a crew chief to have confidence of just tuning a race car that basically is relying on their driver to also be a machine so that we can take that driver variable out of it for the crew chief. And that's one of the most, I think that is one of the most difficult things to do, is to just is constantly be as consistent in everything that you do beyond just leaving off the track. So the better the driver is at being consistent in everything that they do, the more opportunity and chance that the crew chief is able to do what he needs to do and just kind of take that out. So it's cool. It's a lot. And when I tested this last Monday, it was such an incredible day because I got to actually spend time developing and working on new things as a driver inside that cockpit that I never get time to do anymore when I'm at the track. Right. And there's a million things to do in a thousand different places. And I feel, you know, now we're back on track. So Houston's looking to be good. We'll be defending champions from that race. And I feel like now definitely capable of defending that.
Yeah, drivers are, I think, unique animals regardless of the series that they race in, where you want to do as much of it as you possibly can. You don't see NFL football players doing pickup games on, you know, during the week because they want to, or baseball or any of the other sports. But drivers will get out there and they will do everything they can. There's no substitute for experience, so you know it adds. But is there ever too much? Of course, your husband is a crew chief. He's into racing. Do you ever like get home and be like, I don't want to talk about racing. I just want to do something else, maybe just kind of relax and kind of veg? Or is it always because it's at home too?
It's always on. It is always on. It's what we live, eat, breathe, sleep. And of course, a lot of us live in Indianapolis when we're transplants. I'm from Southern California. So everybody that we live with there are also transplants, and that's what we do. But, you know, there was a point earlier in this year when we left out for testing, there was 52 days on the road. At one point I was home for 48 hours within that 52 days, but it gets going. But it's a mindset. You could let something like that get to you, or you can go, man, this is the coolest thing in the world. I'm getting to not only drive, but experience and travel and develop skills, whether it's business or race cars or engineering, and be excited about it. And when you're excited about something, that's when you have an opportunity for growth. And well, growth just means that you're growing, you know, hopefully faster, better than everybody else, and you could be winning at life. I don't know. You just got to have a positive outlook about everything.
No, you are absolutely right, because you've got to really just enjoy it. Because think about this. Anything, I don't care what it is, can get to be a grind after a while if you let it. But you've got to think there are millions of people out there that would love to be in your shoes and enjoying and doing what you're doing. All that hard work that you put in to get to the point where you are has allowed you to be, you know, one of those top faces of the sport. And also, really, I think a great example for a lot of girls out there, right, that see you, you know, achieving and racing at the very highest level and trees and all of those things going on. I've got a 10-year-old and a 6-year-old, and they see you out there. They absolutely love racing, and I think it's a great example. Do you ever think about that? I mean, obviously, it's your own personal goals, and you're achieving and succeeding and all that kind of stuff, but just the kind of, you know, the way that a lot of that next generation sees you.
I do think about that, and from a lot of different places. And sometimes when I talk with young girls or women, and just, you know, so excited about, thank you so much for representing women, and I'm very proud to do so. But at the same time, I know when I like to share that message that I have gotten to where I'm at, there's been a lot of confidence behind it, and just the resilience of never saying no. But at the same time, I'm just a portion of that success, and I don't want anybody to ever think, you know, just because we're women out here that we're doing well, it's the men that are behind us and have been behind me for years and years. A fine case in point, I'm currently in Southern California right now. Yesterday, I attended a funeral service for Steve Pluger. He is one of, if not the world-class funny car chassis builders. I mean, he built John Force's chassis up until like maybe the last five or six championships that he had. Now, Steve Pluger gave me an opportunity to drive for him in a nostalgia funny car back in 2009, and we turned that into a championship in 2010, which then turned into, you know, time that I got to be with Schumacher and helped elevate my career. But it started with two things. Started with an attitude of my own and a will. I'm going to do this someday somehow. And then Steve and that team going, you know what, I really like that. I think I could do that too with her and help her and, you know, give her a budget and she can pay to drive and I'm going to give her the best race car. And then I got to be on that pedestal and it looks like, you know, women are doing great things because we are. But I just always want that message to be out there that it takes it takes that attitude to be able to have people help you, because you can't do this sport on your own by all, by any means. But it's the men that are out there, and even if it is other women that have the back too. But it's pretty cool. But I think it stems with the confidence, and I do like to think that, and I do want the young girls to know that they can do everything. But it's also important to know that you can't do it by yourself.
Yeah, right. In racing, it is a little bit deceiving, right? Because it's one person out there racing. It's one person out there on the stand. It's one person out there that is winning and getting a lot of the publicity. But just like any other sport, maybe even more so, right? It's a team, and you've got to have all those people behind you kind of working to help you achieve those goals. It's important to mention that as well. Well, as you get out, and I mentioned you're going to be, in Texas, and then coming up later, this is the 20th anniversary. You're going to get to see Chicago again, not too far from Indianapolis, and of course all your fans, including all the girls and all the guys, are going to be able to see you here for Route 66. Any thoughts on Route 66 as it turns 20?
Well, for one, I would love to win at the biggest coliseum on the drag racing circuit. That's what I look at it as. I mean, from like a gladiator standpoint. So for me, I have obviously not raced there for those full 20 years, but I think there's a certain feeling to Chicago of, We're into the summer now, and people are having just a phenomenal time. And for us in the series, that's the time where, okay, beginning of the season's kind of over. You've either won and doing well, or things haven't worked out. But now you kind of got to get your stuff together by the time you get to Chicago before we head out for the swing. And that really sets the tone. So for Chicago turning 20, and of course everybody likes a birthday. So I'm looking forward to the fans that have been there and sharing the stories, them sharing the stories with me of their first time there. That's something that I'm looking forward to, because you never know what you're going to get when you get a fan and you start asking them about their great times there. So just in regards to Chicago, yeah, just right up the street, 2.5 hours away. But the feeling that you get when you're coming into that track as a driver, at least for me, you're pulling up in the staging lanes, you make that right underneath the tower, and boom, as soon as you make your presence, kind of just like a gladiator, into this massive arena, all around you, that's a cool and infectious feeling that not only the property, but the fans give you. And I just invite everybody out to that race, because, hey, you get fire and get 20-foot gorilla flames, basically, under the lights popping out of these dragsters and funny cars. And it's, there's not that many night sessions that we get across the country, and this is one of them. And, it's something that everybody's got to see.
Yeah,
so I hope everybody plays.
Yep, it's just around the corner, June 1st through the 3rd, NHRA Route 66 Nationals. And, that track, our home track, has become legendary in just 20 years. And for that, they're going to have a lot of the legends of NHRA, the all-time greats, are going to be out there celebrating with you. And you know that you, down the road, are going to become one of those all-time greats as well, Leah Pritchett. And let the listeners know we're talking with top fuel dragster driver for Don Schumacher, Leah Pritchett. So, Leah, before we let you go, give out your social media so people can keep up with all your adventures, follow you as you go through the season, of course, as you make your way to Chicago.
Absolutely. Thank you. And real quick, we'll be the Mopar car when we race Houston upcoming next weekend. I don't know exactly which car we're going to be when we race Chicago. We're still working on that. But I like to stay in touch with our fans and followers on Instagram. That's Leah Pritchett _TF. And of course, on Facebook, that is the same. And on Twitter, Leah Pritchett TF. And of course, that TF stands for Top Fuel. And thank you, of course, to Papa John's, Mopar, Dodge, Sparkling Ice, and Fire Rate for keeping everything cool. And man, without those sponsors, we couldn't do it out here, and without the fans, we couldn't. So thank you for having me on. And man, if you guys got to put it on your calendar.
Yeah, we'll see you out there when it comes to cool. Leah Pritchett, one of the coolest drivers and faces of NHRA. Thanks, Leah, for taking time and jumping on the show today.
Absolutely. Thanks, you guys. See you then.
Great.
Thanks, Larry. 720 WGN on the road with Dane, live here in the Allstate Showcase studio on an unseasonably unpleasant and cold Saturday here. Blake Stubbs, Blockbuster Blake Stubbs, he's known to his adoring fans worldwide, is to my right. Camille is in the booth. She's feverishly writing down and taking some of the submissions for the bona fide ride of the show. You can send in your first car, favorite car, dream car, or what we're doing today is we are talking about your favorite car movie, since we've got Blake in studio, your favorite movie with a car in it, your favorite car from a movie. So many have come through, and we've tried to read as many of them as we can. Supernatural has come in. We've got also Tim from the 309. Big shout out.
Gotta love the 309. I'm from the 309.
That's right. That's right. So is it like J-Lo from the 309? No, she is not.
No,
Richard Pryor, though, right?
From the, Richard Pryor. Peoria, yeah.
The all-wheel drive 12-wheeler from Damnation Alley is the name of the movie, with George Peppard, of course, who most people really enjoyed his work in the A-Team.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And
Damnation Alley. What an awesome title for a movie, though. Like, if you think about it, that's a pretty sick title for a movie.
Or your address, right?
Damnation Alley.
It's an imposing and intimidating title, and also an address, right? Mm-hmm. If that's where you live,
absolutely.
I think people wouldn't steal your packages off your
front seat. 172 Damnation Alley.
That's right. So we're going to hit on some of those, and you can send yours in to 312-981-7200. We're going to talk about some of the different movies that are out there. Blake has gone deep into a few, and what's crazy about it, and also very, very cool, is that when it comes to car movies, they aren't necessarily confined to one area or genre. You've got mm-hmm. comedies, you've got cartoons, you've got thrillers, you've got horror movies even, too, but you've got a couple that you wanted to share.
I was going to say, we haven't really gone into it much. I believe it was mentioned the last time I was on with you talking car movies, but American Graffiti, you know, directed by George Lucas. This thing was nominated for 5 Oscars. It was pre-Star Wars. But this is one of those movies that it is 100% Americana, you know, from beginning to end. It's about a group of high school grads. They got one final night, before they have to go off to college or the impending Vietnam, military service was another thing I think one of the characters is headed off for. But, all-star cast, Ron Howard, Richard Dreyfuss. There's a young Harrison Ford in the movie, pre-Star Wars. And then
it's neat to see, because the entire world, whether it was the world's perception of them or their place, right. In the world from mm-hmm. a career standpoint, changed after that movie. So to see their work pre-Star Wars is really cool.
It is. And a huge part of the movie, though, is everybody's in cars, driving around.
The
soundtrack's amazing. And for me, the cars are just so important to these characters, because a lot of these kids, because that's kind of what they still are at this point. It's sort of a coming of age for a large group of people in their own unique way. But the cars are... This was an era where everybody saved up every penny they could to get a car, and they didn't even care what it was. But some people have these tricked out rides, and it's their livelihood. It's the thing that they live for. So, Lucas really loved that. He loved that part of America, and he wanted to put it on the big screen. And I think that this movie, it makes a huge impression on people if they go in totally blind. But a lot of people, before I saw it the first time, I was told, oh, you'd probably love American Graffiti. And I was like, I don't even know what that is. I had no idea. And the title I went in no context, just, you would love this movie. Go check it out, rent it at the video store, put it in. And I remember watching it and being kind of blown away by how interesting all these characters were, the atmosphere, the cars, the small town kind of atmosphere, because I grew up in a relatively small town. A lot of things you can connect with when you watch a movie like American Graffiti.
It is one of those kind of coming-of-age movies, but there are so many cameos in there of people that you will recognize from start to finish. And not unlike, we brought up National Lampoon's Vacation, where Christie Brinkley was driving mm-hmm. along in a car, she was in the Ferrari. As you see a young, I think this may be the first time that we'd seen Suzanne Summers from Three's Company, and she is there in Thunderbird, right? It's one of the it was like a 55 or one of those early Thunderbirds with the circle windows.
Oh,
right. And I don't even think she says anything in the movie.
No,
right,
just there. And the other thing is, too, for me, I've been a part of radio my entire adult life, Wolfman Jack is a big hook for the movie. And so it's not just the soundtrack, you're guided through it by the great Wolfman Jack.
So he's narrating the whole thing, and you hit on it, Blake, right? If there was a Mount Rushmore for radio, like Wolfman Jack. Mm-hmm. No, and tell me your thoughts on this. I know he was huge in California. Yeah. The whole thing is set out there. Is it did the movie make him, it certainly didn't hurt, make him kind of a big national personality, or was it the other way around?
As I understand it, he was, huge in the California, realm. But at the same time, I think this kind of gave him that platform to become a voice for the nation. And to me, the reason why he's always been so important in this film is he really is kind of the glue that keeps the whole narrative together, because you're jumping around between multiple stories. And he is like the perfect, segue entity to take us from one transition from one story to the next and back and forth. And then, of course, he's his own character.
Right.
So you have that, too. And it's not exactly one of those things where...
And he is kind of that common touchstone because all the kids are listening, all the radios are tuned to him.
Yep.
And so as they go, he's able to kind of stitch those different scenes and characters
and
together.
If you read through a script like this, the way this movie runs in front of you is, you know, you're reading all these different stories and you think, well, how do I... If you're the writer, if you're George Lucas, you know, how do I bring them all together? And it's like... Everybody would be listening to the radio. Why don't I just have... And then he got the perfect voice to play it. So American Graffiti is a movie that if you haven't seen it, you must. And if you have and you love it, pop it in on a day like today because you might as well.
We've talked about a lot of different cars that span the entire range of you know, everything since the horse and buggy to today. And when we come back from the news, we are going to have the Westmont Cruise and Nights and Street Fair. The 2018 season is just around the corner. Larry McIntyre, he is one of the founders of the Westmont Special Events Corporation. Bob Reed is a vice president and all-around car guy for Westmont Special Events. They have what I will contend is one of the very, very best events, and you'll see everything from the DeLorean from Back to the Future. You'll see very old cars like Model Ts. You'll see, you know, some of the best representations of muscle cars out there. Everything. A little something for everyone and some great kind of feature nights built into it as well. And we have, let's see, some other cars. Road with Dane live here, Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. A lot of cars out there. You know, the street is packed in the streets. In Westmont are going to be packed as well, as they often are when it comes to the Westmont Cruise and Nights and Street Fair. I'll contend that it is one of, it may be the best, the absolute best, and it's always changing and growing. The best kind of collection of cars that happens on a regular basis, weekly, in Westmont, you know, where it brings in not only a certain kind of car, but every single kind of car, and the community has totally embraced it, and they've made it as good as it can possibly be. And we've got Larry McIntyre online. Larry, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much, Dean, for having us back.
And then I've also got Bob Reed as well. He is the vice president over there as well for Westmont Special Events. Bob, are you on?
Yes, sir, I am.
Look at this. We did it. This was, you know, it was a little new tech. You know, just like Alexander Graham Bell, right? Watson, mm-hmm. Can you hear me? Now, think about Watson and then, you know, having Larry on the line, too, and also Bob. This is groundbreaking stuff. So, guys, are you excited? I know it's a lot of work, and it's one of those things that I'm sure as soon as that last one wrapped in the fall, you guys were planning what this next season was going to look like. But, Larry, you can kind of share with it first. Are you excited? It's around the corner.
Absolutely, and you're absolutely right. Like, actually, as soon as the last event ends, which is the last Thursday in August, a lot of our people that come out every single week, they're begging us, hey, can you stay open for another month? And after about 13 weeks, we actually need a break. But after a couple of weeks, we're kind of getting the wheels turning and thinking about next year, and this next year actually will be bigger and better than ever.
It's hard to believe because, and for the people who've been there, they know what I'm talking about, is it's huge. I mean, how many blocks is it? And then how many cars do you guys get on a regular basis? And this is happening on one of the busier streets in the suburbs and one of the busiest streets in Westmont.
Absolutely. Cass Avenue is our main drag in downtown Westmont. It runs north and south through the community. And about 5 years ago, we went before the village board and we said, for this event to grow and take the next step up, we would like to request closing the downtown. And we talked with the businesses, and most of the businesses were on board, a little bit apprehensive at first, but nothing kind of makes things happen more like success. And so once it was approved, and all of a sudden, year by year, the numbers of cars that came out doubled and doubled. And now we probably average 250 classic cars a week and 2,500 people per week. And we've had as many as 350 cars and over 3,000 people. So that's weekly. June, July, and August every Thursday night.
Yeah, and Bob, talking to us, we also have on the line Bob Reed. He is the vice president of Westmont Special Events and an all-around car guy. And talk about kind of the range of cars there. You know, the times that I've been there, you have had everything from, you know, Model Ts and some really, really old cars all the way up to some of your favorite cars from movies, some great muscle cars. Talk about the range of vehicles you'll find in Westmont.
Oh, it's a wide range. There's any kind of car imaginable that you would want to see. These guys put their hearts out in rebuilding a lot of these cars, and they spend a lot of money on them. They enjoy coming. They enjoy seeing the people. They enjoy the whole show. And like Larry said, it's been getting very successful throughout each year by word of mouth and, of course, your advertisement that we're getting through you. just keeps right on growing. And it's going to be bigger this year, like Larry said also.
Well, Bob, think about this and kind of explain. Here's the difference with it. You can have places where, you know, I think car fans and car enthusiasts are going to, they're going to exist. They're going to want to show off their cars and talk to each other about it. But when you can have a community that really embraces it, and Larry mentioned it, you know, that everybody was sort of on board. Well, that's kind of rare. A lot of times you'll get some pushback from communities. We've seen it all over the place because they don't necessarily see just how big and how great it can be. But Bob, talk a little bit about that, because you've got the restaurants involved. You know, I mean, it is, you're not just off in a parking lot somewhere. You're really kind of in the heart of Westmont for this.
We're right in the center of town. And like you asked before, it's three blocks that are closed, and it's approximately real close to a half a mile in distance. And it's all reserved for the cars. And as far as the businesses, they're all on board with us. The village is on board with us. It's turning out to be a most fantastic car show around. I talked to the guys. I know a lot of people that come there, and they say it's the best cruise night show around town. They all want to come there.
Yep. I mean, I'd have to agree. There's a lot of them around. There's so many different communities supporting it, but you guys are doing it and doing it right, and I'm sure there's a lot that they can learn from you. Now, Larry, every week, and of course, people bring out their cars all the time from, and we've talked about the range of cars from all sorts of different, eras and styles and all that. But you guys have built something to kind of give each and every week its own personality. Talk about some of the different weeks you're going to be highlighting here and which cars are going to be front and center.
You're absolutely right. Every single week we have a different theme. Now, having said that, we don't want to discourage anybody from ever coming out, because all cars, all makes, all models are welcome every single week. But we do highlight a theme every week. And so the first week is the first Thursday is going to be June 7th, and that's just going to be a general summer's here to clean them up and bring them out event. So that's come one, come all. But then right away, the second week is our police squad car night. And we have the biggest police squad car night in all of Illinois. We have cars that travel as far as, I think last year we had one traveling from Virginia. I think we had a total of 60 police squad vehicles.
Wow.
At that night. And then, of course, that's a great night also to honor our law enforcement agencies, and so we do that. June 21st is GM night. June 28th is muscle car night. Chrysler night. We have all sorts of interesting nights throughout the year. Two things that were new last year that we're continuing this year. We had our public works come out, and they brought out all their trucks, and then they talked to all the area municipalities, and I think they had a total of 20 municipal trucks, but then we invite everybody to bring their truck out. So that's truck night. That's going to be July 26th this year. And something else that was new last year was our movie car night. And we had a replica Chitty Chitty Bang Bang car, Dukes of Hazzard car, Herbie the Love Bug car, Back to the Future car, and a few others. And this year, we're already working on some additional exciting things. We don't want to announce it until it's confirmed, though.
All right. Wow. So, Blake, so here you can have a situation where you can enjoy the best of some of the favorite cars from the movies. You can see them right in Westmont. And Bob, before we let you go, I see here that it is really, when you get there, it isn't like it's a museum or like it's a car show where you're just there enjoying the cars, but it's all very quiet. It is a party. And you guys have musical entertainment for each and every one of these weeks. And we brought the kids. It's really good for the whole family.
Yes, it is. It's a real family crowd that comes there. They're from young to old. You know, they just keep right on coming. And we also, Larry didn't mention, we do have a motorcycle and military night also for the veterans and everybody. So, but yeah, the crowds keep growing, the cars keep coming. And we never turn anybody away. We'll always find somebody a place to park.
I think that's important to note, right? That it doesn't get completely, you know, so packed that you can't get out there, and you want to get out there and bring your car, showcase it. Certainly, even if you don't have a car, you want to get out there and see some of those great cars, enjoy the food, the music, the camaraderie, and all the people. Larry, before we let you go, give information so that people can not only see the schedule, find out some of those best times. Of course, you'd encourage them to get out there each and every week. But if they want to, let's say if they're a business and they want to sponsor, or let's say if they, you know, want to get more information about bringing their car or whatever, how can they get a hold of you guys?
We encourage people to check us out on the website, which is westmontevents.com, and then also our office email is WSEC at westmontevents.com. Also, check us out on Facebook. We have a Westmont Special Events mascot, and his name is Stanley Jamberger. So that's a unique mascot name.
That's
but
awesome.
if you friend Stanley Jamberger, you'll see all of our posts for upcoming events, and those are great ways to get in touch with us. Also, our phone number is 630-829-9378.
Yeah, great cars, great music, great entertainment, and a possibility to make a new friend, Stanley Jamberger. He's out there and celebrating 19 years of cool cars on Cass. Nobody can argue with that. So Larry and Bob, thanks so much for what you're doing. Can't wait to get out. I know we're going to be doing the show from there at least a couple points, I think, throughout the summer. And thanks for jumping on the show today.
Okay, thank you. And one more thing. This is all brought to everybody by volunteers. We all volunteer for this.
Bless you guys. Bless you guys, because we all benefit from it, not only here, you know, all of our listeners, but everybody, the businesses, and everybody enjoys it. So none of these things happen, these great things happen, without good people getting involved and taking charge. So thanks to you guys as well.
And thank you also.
All right. Okay, so Larry and Bob, they just jumped on Westmont. Got to look it up. Got to check it out. If you love cars and a good time, make your way out there, a pilgrimage out to Westmont this summer and see their cruise net. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Blockbuster Blake Stubbs and I, we are going to go through some of these last movies. We're going to pick our winners for the bona fide ride of the show. We'll read some of the extra ones that have come through. 312-981-7200. You can still add in your first car, favorite car, dream car. But as we've been kind of highlighting today, your favorite car movie, your favorite car from a movie, your favorite chase scene, whatever it is that has to do with it. So many great suggestions. So stay tuned. It's Dane here on the road on 720. On the road with Dane, live here, Allstate Showcase Studio, Michigan Avenue. And to my right in studio with us, the one and only Blockbuster Blake Stubbs. You know him from so many of the different shows that we do, where we're talking about a lot of the new releases that come out, some of the exciting movies. We may have a second or two to touch on his thoughts on a couple of those. We've been focusing and featuring your favorite car movies of all time, movies with cars, movies about cars, or movies that, you know, where a car just happens to be sort of in there or important. And you guys have shared so many great thoughts of your own. So many of the ones that we thought of, a lot of that nobody thought of, or that just weren't front of mind. So thanks so much, guys. And you can still do that, 312-981-7200. Before the end of the show, Camille is going to pick her bona fide ride of the show as well. So Blake, we've kind of just shown that it can be, whether it's cartoons or horror movies or thrillers or comedies or anything like that, the car is a big star when it comes to movies.
It is, and I think a lot of it has to do with, sometimes you get these pairings of like a charismatic actor or actress behind the wheel of a car that just screams attitude and cool factor. But at the same time, sometimes the car is the scene. You know, like if you take the car out of the scene, you just have an actor playing a scene, whereas this makes it and or breaks it in some cases. And I think movies, you know, just examples of that are something like The DeLorean and Back to the Future, which would have been an entertaining movie. The Time Machine, they even talk about it, could have been anything.
Well, like, why not Wayne's World, they did a pacer. I mean, you could have put the flux capacitor, could have been in anything.
In anything,
but
yeah.
It was in really what is kind of the physical kind of blend of what looks kind of like a spaceship,
it
right?
Does.
And then also, you know, a real actual car,
exactly.
The DeLorean.
And you know, we even went back to what, you know, the epitome of the family car, which was the Truckster from the Griswold era.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the thing. Anybody can relate to a lot of these movies. One of the movies that we didn't get to touch on, nobody really touched on it, but it is one of my favorites, and it was Nicholas Winding Refn's Drive from 2011. It stars Ryan Gosling, who is a Hollywood stuntman by day, and a mechanic in his off time, but then he moonlights as a getaway driver for anybody who's willing to pay his fee and follow his very explicit rules. He plays opposite Bryan Cranston, Carey Mulligan, and Albert Brooks, and even a really fun performance from Ron Perlman in this movie. But this is a movie where it's a very dark noir film. You know, Gosling actually restored the Impala. I think it's a 73 Impala that he drives in the film. And it has a very dark, slow build to being this degradation of this character who's just trying to get through, you know, and not be a violent person, but eventually it leads to that. And I think it was a very gripping story for people that gave it, as I put it, whenever I recommended it to somebody, I said, if you try to sit down and watch Drive, you give it 10 minutes. And if after the first 10 minutes of that film, you aren't completely into it, then turn it off. And I've never had anybody tell me that they turned it off. And it's because the opening is a getaway that he drives, and it's shot almost entirely from the interior of the car, from his perspective, from the guys that he's driving's perspective, and they're trying to get away from the cops. And it's very gripping, and it's dark. It takes place at night a lot. It's a different movie from a lot of the stuff we've been talking about. We try to be a little more fun and open, but if you're looking for something that's got a heavy mood to it, I highly recommend Drive, and I'm pretty sure it would be very easy to get a hold of if you wanted to watch it on a streaming service.
That's a great suggestion. One of the suggestions that came through, when you think about a heavy mood as an actor, a guy who has played some of the toughest and darkest roles where a lot of the action going on, you know, is up in their head, right?
Yep.
Taxi Driver with like Robert De Niro. And this is one of those, it's kind of like what we talked a little bit about the Star Wars, the characters that are in it. You know, there's a before that moment in time, and then there's an after, and they're never really thought of the same after that. And but for Robert De Niro, he's been so pigeonholed in a wonderful way, right, for his work in, you know, Godfather and Godfather 2 and all that kind of stuff. So, but for Taxi Driver, it is one of those movies that is, you know, as far as quotes and all those kind of things, it's as famous as it gets for him.
It's as quotable as ever when it comes to De Niro.
I mean, are you talking to me, Blake?
I am talking directly to you. The other thing is, it's one of Scorsese's finest works. But I think, and we go back to a little bit of Baby Driver, our discussion about Baby Driver, how music is so important. Yeah. You know, Bernard Herrmann, his score for that movie is haunting, and it's gripping, and it really puts you in every scene when you're watching Taxi Driver. So now, a lot of people have seen Taxi Driver, and we're talking about a movie that, you know,
1976.
I could probably bring 10 people in here, and 8 out of 10 of them have seen it. What I would tell all 8 of those people is go back and watch it and pay extra attention to the music in the film. And much like when we discuss Baby Driver, I think a lot of people don't pay enough attention to all of these elements that sometimes make a movie special, you know, when they want to watch it. So I'm assigning a little bit of homework. I do this on occasion when I'm with you to the audience. I say, go back and watch something you've seen before, but this time, here's something to pay extra special attention to. And Bernard Herrmann's score is what I want people to pay attention to.
And you look at it, everything from the actors that we've mentioned that are such a big part of it, the cars front and center, of course, in the movies. But, you know, when it comes to American Graffiti, you look at George Lucas, right? This is a George Lucas pre-Star Wars, and he's identified forever after that.
As the Star Wars guy.
And you've got Martin Scorsese, like pre, you know, kind of mafia type movies and some of the other things that he's been so associated with. So Taxi Driver, get out there, see it again. So you've got Serious, you've got Dark, you've got Brooding, and then you've got Talladega Nights.
And you got Talladega Nights. How could we not mention Talladega? How could we go this long without mentioning Talladega Nights? I mean, it is a very quotable movie. It's hilarious. It's got a great cast. It's just everything about it just screams hilarity.
Well, and you think about it, it seems like it's along the same lines. If you're going to watch one, maybe have a party. Camille, you've got a movie that is also, I think, silly, but very van-centric, perhaps.
Dumb and Dumber.
Oh.
The big dog van.
Shaggin' Wagon.
Yeah.
We talked about the mystery machine, and then there's no mystery about what's going on in the Shaggin' Wagon.
What a great road movie, too. I mean, I think Dumb and Dumber holds up a lot better than a lot of people.
Louise.
I once made the statement, and I got into it with somebody about it, where I think Dumb and Dumber is a more modern take on, I'm not saying it's as good, and I'm not saying it's the same thing, but it's kind of got
a modern take on what?
It's got a Caddyshack appeal to it. It's so quotable that people will, it's my generation mostly, and Camille, we're in the same generation. Mm-hmm. We can quote Dumb and Dumber to you like our parents could quote Caddyshack to us. Now, I grew up watching both, but there's a younger group of people out there that like Dumb and Dumber, that's their Caddyshack. And I think that's hard for some people to understand, but Dumb and Dumber is still hilarious.
We named our dog that we had Lloyd Christmas. That's the impact that movie had on my family.
That's a fantastic name for a dog.
Yeah.
Lloyd Christmas. All right.
Yeah.
It sounds good.
It's Jim Carrey's character.
So Dumb and Dumber is a vehicle. It's not a car, but it is a van front and center, you know, just like the Mystery Machine, right, for Scooby-Doo is there. And when it comes to Talladega Nights, the Ballad of Ricky Bobby, it has, you know, all of those things. It's got drama. It's got suspense. It's got some voot. Don't put that on me, Ricky Bobby. It's got relationships and the love story. Remember when he calls up to see how to do the John C. Reilly calls up to try to figure out how the surround sound can get worked in.
Yeah, and the absurdity in the movie, I think, is what sold me on it. And look, here's the thing.
You know your marriage was a sham. I did not know that.
I've always been one who, there is some work that Will Ferrell has done that I absolutely love, but I've never really been drawn to him like a lot of people I know have always been. That particular movie, though, I remember watching it and laughing a lot and seeing it again and again and always finding it to be one of those, like, I'm really glad that a lot of people enjoy this movie because it's a very good conversation piece.
Yep.
And I'm just, again, I'm surprised we made it this long into the show without ever mentioning
it. Well, Sacha Baron Cohen, he is it. There's a lot of different cameos in there. Mm-hmm. We still, you know, and I think that's another thing, too, is we've talked about some of the quotable lines from some of these famous movies where cars are related, you know, Shake and Bake, you know, yeah. We'll do that. If you're not first, you're last, that certainly does come up. And
that's me every day when I wake up in the morning.
So then, but is it the kind of movie that there is enough going on that you should get back, you know, and see it? It's got, you know, all the suspense, got sports thriller, you got some NASCAR in there. Wonder Bread is in Perrier.
Absolutely. And imagine that, you know, if you had a rainy day where watching a movie is the best thing you could do, why not watch something that's fun? Watch Talladega Nights.
Or reruns of Magnum PI from the 773, mm-hmm. the Ferrari, or is it a Lamborghini? It's a Ferrari. It's a Ferrari, yep. Like 308 GT, I think, from Magnum PI. That was one of the, you see that car, you kind of want it.
Absolutely.
But it's kind of almost, you know, some cars, and if you go to Westmont, you're going to see every bit of cars from all over the areas where cars don't necessarily go out of style. That Ferrari is kind of classic, but it almost is sort of out of style.
Yeah.
And right? I mean, it almost
is. I was going to say, yeah. And that's one of those where I always say, you know, come for the car, stay for the stash. But definitely in the case of Magnum PI. And another one, too, is it the Ferrari Testarossa from Miami Vice? Is it the Testarossa? That's what Don Johnson, what Crockett drove.
Yeah.
Like in the era of like having these really cool being the word, right. You know, detective characters, putting them behind the wheel of a sick ride, that just, it. I think that's why the show's lasted as long as they did.
Well, this show has lasted about as long as it is going to last, and it is about time for us to give away our bona fide ride of the show. And so everybody who has sent in, you can go ahead and stop sending in because we have one. Camille, who's the winner? What is it going to be?
Dave. Dave is the winner.
Nice job,
with
Dave.
Bullet.
Nice job, Dave.
He was
Dave
the caller who called in earlier to talk about Bullet.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Dave with Bullet.
And
I'll
so
be giving him a call.
Blake, congratulations, Dave, and all the people who called in, texted in. So many great, not only conversation starters, but also great movies and cars to suggest and things to get out there on a rainy day. I think tomorrow is going to be not unlike today.